clearly sees and undoubtedly is pursuing what he believes to be one of his most important roles in life. He sees his role as a shaper of lives. The greatest responsibilities that fathers have to themselves and to their children and to God are their responsibilities to raise their children to love and to obey God. And from fulfilling those responsibilities, they receive the greatest honor. Do we think about and thank our fathers for their commitment to God? King David prayed to God, "Guard my life, for I am devoted to you." You know, a father has to be very careful in saying that or in assuming that about himself. Because if it's true, his life must show it, and it will show it, and it will be recognized. Hopefully, firstly, by those of us in his family. And it will impress us in the best sense of that word. Because his values, the values of God that are in his life, will be impressed upon us because of his life. Just before he died on the cross, Jesus said to God in his prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That seems like something we would expect Jesus to say, doesn't it? But what about a father? Jesus could fearlessly commit his spirit into the Father's hands at his death because his life had been faithfully committed to God throughout his life. David told God, "In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." Their trust showed their commitment to God. They looked at him as the ultimate of their father. And they understood, because they had such a rich history of this fatherly care of him, that they could in fact trust him as the father. And trusting him, they could commit themselves to him. And this demonstrates this trust in God was the best gift that they could give their children. And so as they would tell their children about God and about what God had done, as they could tell their children about this trust that the fathers, the ancestors, had put in God, they could find themselves giving this same trust to their children. It was a gift, if you will, of demonstrated trust. Trust in God comes in part from thinking deeply about God's constant care for his creation and specifically his people. But it also comes from personally recognizing God's care, growing attention to those elements that brings growth to spiritual maturity. And so do we think about and thank our fathers for growing constantly in maturity to Christ? That's not a small thing. You know, becoming a Christian is the most significant event of our lives. And everything else ought to be shaped as a result of that, ought to kind of be the outpouring or outflow of that. Every other decision, every other action in life, the whole course of our life, from that point forward, should be shaped by that singular event and decision in our life. But that event, as powerful as it is not some kind of magic pill that automatically and immediately endows us with full-blown spiritual maturity, is it? Maturity is a process of growth. fully maturing into the balanced character of Christ is the wholehearted goal of a godly father. Such a father is committed to this growth because he's committed to God. He understands how this continuing spiritual growth will benefit himself and his family and his fellow Christians, and in fact, everyone whose life he touches. Former Vice President Al Gore's father was a believer in God, and so he wrote about his father, saying, "My father's dedication to the public good made a deep impression on me. As a child, I watched him pass the first Medicare bill ever to win approval in the Senate. As a college student, I was intensely proud of his courageous decision to fight for civil rights and against the Vietnam War, even though it virtually guaranteed his re-election defeat. By standing up for what he believed was right, my father taught me that principles are more important than winning elections." In Psalm 44, it was fathers who told their children about what God had done for them. I don't know about you, but I find myself, as I read verses like this, reading them rather thoughtlessly. I just kind of read through them and think, well, this is a praise to God. This is retelling what God's people did. And I just continue to kind of read on. But as I read this verse, I was stopped by something. I was stopped as I thought about what was going on here. The fathers told their children about what God had done for them. Now, when I read passages like that in the Bible, and they come up often, very often in the Old Testament, the first thing that pops into my mind is, well, sure. Sure. I mean, these stories about what God did in the life of Noah, what God did in the life of Abraham, what God did in the life of Joseph, what God did for the Jews as he took them out of Egypt, what God did in caring for them throughout that 40 years they were in the desert, what God did in bringing them into that promised land, what God did for them over and over and over when they got themselves into trouble and they cried out to him and he rescued them. Oh, those are powerful tales. When I read about and think about what God did in the life of Israel after that, after they fell into apostasy, after they found themselves being taken away into captivity, but that God restored them and provided for them. Sure, they've got some great tales to tell of what God did for them. But these fathers who were telling about what God had done, were they just telling about the great stories of the past? Or were they telling their children as fathers about what God had done for them? And what God was doing for them? And then I got really uncomfortable, because I started thinking about my own teaching as a father to my children. And I could read them the Bible about what God had done for ancient Israel thousands of years ago, and try to impress upon them the love of God and the care of God and the compassion of God and the mercy of God, this power of God, this forgiveness of God, and all of these great traits that God has so generously given to another people in another place thousands of years ago, and fail to tell them what I as their father had experienced of God in my life. And I began to wonder if I was alone in that. And I really hope I am. As these fathers impressed upon their children God's great love, just in the process of relating that to their children, they as fathers grew in spiritual maturity. But godly fathers also impress upon their children the truth of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 10 through 11, that spiritual maturity is from God's discipline and training. God's discipline and training. And that maybe, at least at certain times, that godly discipline and training comes through the fathers themselves. And so do we think about and thank our fathers for their Christ-like guidance and training of us? This, after all, is a God-given responsibility to fathers. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "Fathers, not mothers, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, fathers, bring up those children in the training and instruction of the Lord." And if I could just isolate that verse from everything else in the Bible and turn everywhere else and find that that responsibility was given to mothers, I might think that somewhere along the line that was a scribal error. And how comfortable that would make me and take me off the hook. But you know, I find it's just the opposite. I find that the lion's share of the instructions about the training of children is to fathers. Fathers, fathers, over and over to fathers. I find that as a father, I cannot delegate these responsibilities of raising my children up in the training and instruction of the Lord to anybody else, because they are mine alone, and those are responsibilities for which I, as a father, will stand before God and answer to Him about. That instruction is in knowing certainly what God's word says, but it's also in knowing God's love toward all people and the reasonableness of the very idea of God and His will. And that training is in putting His word into our daily lives, serving others in love. And all of that is in how fathers treat their wives and their children, and in the priorities that I have as a father in terms of my mind and my activities and my time and my money. Because all of that is seen and read very clearly by my children. And it raises some questions for me as a child, as I think about my father, as it does for you. And that is, do we thank our fathers for raising us in God-honoring homes? And we can't take that lightly. We can't take it for granted. We can't assume that that's a norm, because it certainly is not anymore, if it ever was. Do we recognize our fathers as Christ-like examples who are continually blessing our lives as their gifts to us? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him." That singular verse just puts a weight of responsibility on us, doesn't it, as fathers? A responsibility that we cannot take lightly. The greatest gift and the greatest honor that we can give a father who has raised us in the training and instruction of God is to live that. There's no greater gift to give our Father, nothing that means as much to Him, because this singular gift is the gift of eternal life that a father hopes for with his children and his God. Proverbs 44 and verses 1 through 3 is rich in retelling what God did for His people. God's gifts to them as their father. He made a place for them. He planted them. He brought peace to them. He brought prosperity to them. And He impressed upon them His power for their blessing. Through the sacrificial death gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, God, who is the best father, gives eternal spiritual gifts that far outshadow everything that he gave to those he loved, ancient Israel. God gives a way of life and love here and eternally that is without equal and without compare as that best of all fathers. Do you believe in God's Son as your Savior? Have you turned from your ways to accept and live in His way? Have you united with Him as the child He looks forward to? The child that He wants to adopt? The child that He wants to be the ultimate and finest father to? The father who can give you and do for you and be more for you in your life than you can possibly imagine? Has that all transpired in your life? Because He loves us so much, that's what He wants us to experience. His love, manifested in every imaginable and unimaginable way to our blessing. If we can help you come to Him in faith this morning, we urge you to take that step by standing.